Welcome to our birthday meeting of Overeaters Anonymous and to our virtual intergroup OA Footsteps, which is three today. My name is Claire. I'm a compulsive overeater, bulimic and restrictor, and I will be trying to lead some sort of meeting today. Please, can you join me in the Serenity Prayer? Welcome you to share it in your native language if you wish to truly celebrate the diversity of this global community. And hang on, let me allow everybody to unmute.
I did.
Cool. God.
Yeah, may send this at all.
Grant me the serenity. things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I adore hearing other languages in the room. Okay, so where are we starting here? Welcome home. If you're new to this meeting or to OA Footsteps, we welcome you especially. We'd invite you and all members present here today to write a brief introduction into the chat when it opens. Share a little about how your recovery is going, and specifically, how is Footsteps helping your recovery? You may also anything you want, wish to leave at the virtual door. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting for our own contributions. Okay. Neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organisation, political movement, ideology or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviours and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Does anybody have the steps available, and would you like to unmute and read those for us, please? Monica, do you have
the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous? We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Monica. And would somebody please like to read the 14th of April, Voices of Recovery?
I would, Claire. Ruth.
Thank you, Ruth. Go ahead.
Sure. I'm Ruth, recovering compulsive overeater. April 14th, we gratefully follow in the footsteps of many others who have walked this way before us, and we're gratified to be making footprints of our own for others to follow. The 12 Steps and 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, page 106. I am grateful that all of you were here when I entered the doors of OA. I am grateful for the founders who left the first footprints for me to follow. I'm grateful for the other compulsive overeaters who were willing and happy to share their experience, strength, and hope. I'm grateful I didn't have to walk the path alone. Eventually, I found that I could leave footprints for others to follow. I, too, had experience, strength, and hope to share. I am always happy to share with others. We walk together on this path of recovery. We follow the footprints in the sand of those who have walked before us, and we leave footprints for those yet to come. Thank you for letting me read.
Thank you, Ruth. And now I would like to introduce, we have several lovely speakers today. So, Renee, take us away for our first share today.
Hi, thank you. Renee, compulsive overeater. is someone timing?
Good point.
Could someone time? And
I can I'll do that.
Thank you. And what's the maximum?
10 to 15.
Okay. So hi everybody. Again, I'm Renee. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I was invited here today because I'm the current chair of OA Footsteps. I am on a trip. Well, I'm on a trip with my son right now, so that's why I'm pulled over on the side of the road. I had initially been asked to speak today, and I said no because of this trip, and then I got a nice little gentle nudge, and I'm so glad I did because I'm really grateful to be here and glad that you're all here too to celebrate the birthday. I'm also recovering from COVID, so I might need to take a pause here and there just for breathing purposes. So the really super quick story, just to get it out of the way, of my physical recovery is I came to OA in two or three weeks, it'll be 2 years. And when I came, I was a size 2X, and now I'm a large. And there's my physical recovery in a nutshell. So I'm going to leave that at that. My spiritual emotional recovery has so much to do with OA Footsteps. And it was really quite something to think about as I had my son here helping me take notes as we're driving along, just to think about everything that Footsteps has provided to allow me to be where I am today. But at first, I want to show you all something funny. It's going to mean something to some of you, others it won't. Let's see. There we go. Some of you might recognize that. That is the old looking Footsteps calendar, at least when I came in. I counted it. At this point, there was 56 meetings at OA Footsteps. This was printed in July of 2021. And when I used to have older versions of this, but I threw them away. But probably when I started in April 2021, maybe there were 30 meetings on here. And in that 3 months, I had to print a lot more copies of this because it kept updating and meetings kept adding. You can see that meetings kept adding to Footsteps because of the pandemic, and that is true. But meetings kept adding as quickly as they did to Footsteps because of what OA Footsteps gave us in order to start a meeting. I started a meeting at OA Footsteps. I never would have done it. Never would have done it if it weren't for what was provided to me in the home of OA Footsteps. It would have been too scary for me. I hated and still have difficulty with commitment. I fear setting things up. I would have feared. I only have a Zoom account because my husband set it up for me. I don't think I could have handled going on OA.org to get a general meeting format. I don't think I could have. But OA Footsteps was there, and I got a little gentle nudge from my higher power. I got a little gentle nudge from my sponsor. And quite honestly, this is how higher power uses your character defects. I also wanted to have my name on the schedule. I just wanted to have my name on there. And so OA Footsteps did this, and I made sure this is the minimum I could think of. I was able to start a meeting just like many other people at Footsteps because OA Footsteps gave us a Zoom room. It gave us right on the website formats, multiple formats. We didn't even have to go looking for one, multiple formats. It gave me a sponsor, OA Footsteps. I got my sponsor from the sponsor bank at OA Footsteps, and I needed that sponsor for the support to push me not only to start a meeting, but to move towards the chair role. It gave us a seventh tradition link there set up. All I had to do was copy and paste it. And and I was able to contribute, you know, everyone to contribute in our meeting to OA. It gave us a website to advertise. It gave us host and co-host training, leadership training at the time, regularly occurring. Hold on. With a training packet, it gave us a newcomer committee. I didn't have to worry about that. None of us had to worry about that. A newcomer committee to send out the coins, to send out the pamphlets. It gave us an announcement page to where we could just open it right up during our meetings and show what's going on, not only at OA Footsteps, but at OA.org. It provided us something, and I can say for me, that I never, ever could have done alone. And just the meeting that I started alone is such a tremendous part of my recovery. And the God Squad / we call it Higher Power Rangers that have come from that meeting, invaluable to me. And again, it wouldn't have started without Footsteps. Somewhere along the way, early on, actually, maybe just a month or two into my recovery with OA, Higher Power gave me a nudge to become a meeting rep, which is weird for me. Again, and I'll repeat a couple of times, before recovery, and I'm still working on it, before recovery, massive fear of commitment, massive fear of anything leadership at all, crap self-esteem. Lots of not good enoughs, lots of feeling stupids. And a meeting rep, that was a commitment. Ooh. But Higher Power said, give a try. And so I did. And it was fascinating to me to go to my first VIG meeting. I really remember it because it was the first time I was ever in a group conscience. And it was the first time that I felt comfortable really raising my hand in a meeting, sharing an idea or asking a question and not feeling stupid. And that's a big one. That's a big problem that comes up for me now, even in my recovery, is the word stupid. And I didn't feel that way in the VIG right from the get-go, the group conscience, the what had started there and be, you know, it was going on there at that time, and I hope still is with me there, is just a place of respect, a place of tension sometimes. Sure, there's lots of ideas that are brewing, but a place where you can be heard and felt a lot of safety in the VIG. And that is why I'm still there now. Taking a breath here again for a second. So there I am, now having started a meeting, now a meeting rep, doing things I never would have thought I would have done. HP chose service big time for my recovery and knew that I could do it within OA Footsteps. And then the really bizarre way that something skyrocketed was in February 2021. When not just OA Footsteps, but OA as a whole got its first massive hit of Zoom intruders. And Higher Power had been preparing me a little bit without me realizing for about a month prior to that, because I was starting to get afraid of me having to experience a Zoom intruder. And I started writing notes that I kept next to me on if I had a Zoom intruder, this is what I would do. And so the night that I first had our meeting, had its first Zoom intruders, it was strange. It was a spiritual moment for me when the meeting had been suspended, because Higher Power was showing me what to do. Literally, and I'd say this joke to some people, it was my last day of service on that meeting. And I tell people this all the time because it was so true. I was sitting there, I suspended the meeting, I was taking deep breaths, and I literally heard, this is what's next. And I thought, are you kidding me? Zoom bombers are what's next? And it was, because the next day, what I had learned from the experience, I wanted to share with some of the meeting leaders. And I was just reaching out in WhatsApp, hey, I can teach you some things I learned last night. And met in a Zoom room, and suddenly our founding mother, Alex, shows up in the room and says, you've got to tell this to more people. I go, well, okay. Well, I'll set it up. Okay. And the next thing you know, I see in the WhatsApp chats, Renee will be offering workshops tomorrow. And I thought, I'm what? And it did. And the following day, I had gone from leading a meeting and being a meeting rep to having trained 100 people in security. And that was one of the biggest accomplishments of my life. I hadn't even told my parents that I had been in OA for the last 10 months. And I couldn't help it then. I really wanted to share that experience that I had that happened again within the home of OA Footsteps that our founding mother pushed along. And I'm really grateful to that. I also, from our founding mother, got a push saying, hey, how about, you know, rebooting the security committee? And my character defect of people pleasing said, okay, I didn't want to. I was scared. That was commitment. That was leading something. That was meetings. I didn't want to do that. And wow, a security committee, the people who came to the committee, who've committed themselves to the committee in OA Footsteps, just can't express how grateful I am to those members. And as you all know, how much service they've given to us through these difficult times that we've had with Zoom intrusions. From the security committee, from there, still continuing to go to OA Footsteps meetings, the vice chair position became available. And that was Higher Power's next push on, you're in your safe place, give it a shot. And so I did. And then in those months that were passing by, I realized the term of office of our chair at the time, Carrie, would be ending. And started thinking about it. Could I handle it? And still, even with all of the recovery and all the opportunities being presented within OA Footsteps, it was still like, no, I can't commit. It's going to be too scary. There's going to be responsibilities that are going to come up. I don't want to do it. But I did. But I didn't. But I did. And I talked to my sponsor, and this was it. I said, really, I just don't know if I should do it. And she just said, you've been wanting to do it since the first day you started in the VIG. Shit, she's right. And that is where my higher power and OA Footsteps and the committees and the current board and the past board and the past chairs and my sponsor and the higher power rangers. This home created with OA Footsteps was able to support me and take me to the next level that I'm at now with my recovery. I'm fascinated every day that I am the chair currently of OA Footsteps. I'm fascinated. It can be challenging. Every day there's a challenge. And if it was 2 or 3 years ago, I would have said, this is why I didn't want to do this. And I never feel that way now. Never. Because I feel the support of this home. And I always know there's someone for me to lean on. And my recovery, what I've been given to think that. I don't think I'm as stupid anymore. And I that not good enough. I'm able to get there through that a little bit better now. And I feel like my higher power gave me OA Footsteps and the opportunities within it to finally get to the spiritual person that I was meant to be. So Happy third birthday, Bowie Footsteps. And love to all of you. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Renee. And let me hand over to Alex, who is our founding member of OA Footsteps. Take it away, Alex.
Oh my goodness, thank you so much, Renee. I remember those days so clearly. Look where we are now. I just want to say, I'm Alex, I'm a compulsive eater, and I'm gratefully in recovery one day at a time. And I am so, so grateful to be here today and every day. Like, this has been the most miraculous journey. So I actually went back and I was looking at sort of some of the previous birthdays, and I rewrote something that I had written for my first anniversary. And I thought, oh my God, this sounds like a two-way prayer almost, right? So I wrote it, even though it's sort of well-known, I kind of wrote it from my own place too. So there's a well-known poem about a dream, walking along that proverbial beach with my higher power, looking back behind me. Scenes of my life flash before my eyes, and always there are two sets of footprints, except during the worst, most traumatic parts. When I suffered the greatest, there's only one set. Dismayed, I cry out to my higher power, why would you abandon me during my darkest hours? I committed myself to you. You promised you would never abandon me. And a great voice whispers from deep within me, dearest Jan, brightest of stars, you are loved and truly treasured, especially during your hardest moments. For that is when I hold you most dearly to my heart. And my higher power must have been holding me especially close in those final years, especially before I found OA. My higher power kept me alive so that one day I would find my way here and to begin this journey here with you. I had no idea what was coming. I had no sense of self-value or worth at that time. I was literally using food to kill myself. And almost consciously so, like subconsciously, consciously fixated on doing that. And what a great way to go, right? And it gave me permission to just throw any advice, health issues, diabetes out the window. I just ate, and I ate and ate and ate just so I wouldn't have to feel anything. And if things got too hard, I didn't think I needed to be here. But higher power had such a different plan for me. And it was funny because I think I kind of knew that deep down. Like, I actually did stop myself at one point, even before I found OA, and think, wait a minute, I don't want to not be here. And I did start putting just tentative feelers out for help and support. It still took me a couple of years before I found OA, but I did get lots of support and strength. Nothing quite filled that void that I was still filling with food. But I was definitely recognizing how unmanageable my life had become. And just that, I was sitting at the bottom of the abyss, the bottomless abyss that just never seemed to end. So, and when I look back now, it kind of starts to make sense, right? I had worked myself, I became really, really ill in 2009. It turned out to be a lot of environmental things, and they diagnosed with a bunch of stuff at the time. I literally collapsed and started socially isolating since 2009. And despite repeated attempts to get out into the world again, it's never been viable for me to do that. Even today, I struggle just even going to the shops and regular appointments because my health is severely impacted. So my world was pretty virtual anyways. It always was. But it was a pretty lonely world back in 2009, you know, it gave me a foundation of learning skills, online skills and stuff. Like, I was always techie anyways. I'd been designing websites, I'd been doing stuff. And I should mention, I'd always been doing sort of community driven type work before. Like, it was always something that was really important to me to do. But I can see now that higher power had a plan all along, you know, a little bit like the previous share, just like we didn't know it at the time, but we were actually being schooled in this higher place of knowledge and hard knocks. And, you know, who would have thought back in 2009 when I collapsed from illness that that could be the greatest blessing of my life, that that happened to me, you know? And it put me and gave me the right skills and abilities to continue on to when I found program and I could finally start picking these qualities out of my life that were actually good, you know. Oh my good, I can do that with this, and I can pull this into that, and things started to make sense, even though I didn't understand where it was leading me for the longest time. I had written, I should tell you guys, I was up all night, because I suddenly about 2 o'clock in the morning last night thought, oh my god, what am I going to say? So I spent all night writing 7 pages of notes, of course, which I threw out earlier this morning for my first time I talked. And but I wanted to talk about the reading that, and go back to the day footsteps started. Well, first of all, let me go back just a little bit more. When I first came to OA, it was on August the 3rd, 2018. And I tried going to a face-to-face meeting my first time. And I fought so hard to go to face-to-face. I knew I needed this recovery with all my heart. I became abstinent my very first day. My abstinence has changed and grown since then, but there was an abstinence in place from day one. And I've never lost sight of that. And some, like, I've held dearly to that date because it's really special to me that way. But the...
I want you to highlight the very top part.
Sorry. Thank you. I'm sorry. My brain doesn't work well with that. Just a second. So yes, I tried going to these meetings, and I found online right away. As soon as I found OA, I started going to these typewriting meetings online, and I met a wealth of people online. I could go to them every few hours all through the day then, and I really enjoyed that aspect of the program. But these face-to-face ones were really important to me, that face-to-face contact. I love that. And I tried and tried, but for me, in my illness, in my chronic illness, I would go to these meetings. And then I'd be sick for 4 days, 5 days sometimes, like just the chronic pain, fatigue. I would go on Sunday and I'd be surfacing maybe Thursday or Friday, only to go back to another meeting the next Sunday and then go through this again. And each week I did this, I was sort of depleting my resources more and more and more. So after about 2 or 3 months in, I had to kind of give up going to face-to-face meetings altogether. So my entire program was online. It was all virtual meetings on these typewriting meetings. I can't do telephone meetings because of the, I'm neurodiverse and I have some extreme sound sensitivities, and phone meetings can be a little jarring for me, but the typewriting ones were fine. And I hit the ground running actually in that first month. I was leading meetings almost in my first month. In my second month, I was already a meeting rep for one of the meetings I was leading. So I was now at that typewriting intergroups. It was 12 Step for Co's. I was in their intergroup, and I got put on an ad hoc committee. I had no idea how any of this worked. I was just bumbling around like, sure. I mean, I'm game. I mean, I felt the hope. My hope was the beacon throughout all of this. I knew I had to be where I was. So I put on this ad hoc committee because they were considering putting their business meetings on video, like have video meetings. So we were looking at different platforms. So this three of us in this ad hoc committee, we went off and we started exploring platforms. We tried WhatsApp, Skype, Google, and no, we didn't do Google then, but then we did Zoom. And it was like, I remember coming into a Zoom meeting, it was so easy to get into it. WhatsApp was convoluted, and people, if they didn't have a cell phone, wouldn't have been able to access it. And in the typewriting meeting, we were dealing with a lot of people that weren't very tech savvy, so it just wasn't the right thing. But Zoom was like, I swear I could hear choirs of angels singing the first meeting I was in with that ad hoc committee as we were just sort of assessing it. And I went, oh my God, guys, can we have a meeting in this? And I was so excited. I went back to the intergroup and I was like, please, 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 can we have a meeting at Zoom? And they were, that was a really well-established intergroup. like over 30 years on this typewriting. And there was a lot of old timers on that. And I was considered a young upstarter. And they weren't keen on the idea of introducing a Zoom meeting. But I was devastated. I was heartbroken. Like, it was like this beautiful, incredible cathedral for a meeting was presented to me, and opening up the doors for a real-time meeting, being pulled out from underneath me even before it started. So I went back to two of my friends on the typewriting meetings. I said, guys, do you want to just try a meeting, right? Just for our own selves, right? A bit, you know. And that was April 14th, 2019. There was three of us, and we were in the room 2933-55222 for the first time. And so we did, I just followed I had the folder from my home group still, right? I still have it. Actually, I should give it back to them. The folder from that home meeting. And I just sort of followed that as a format that time. And we did the daily reading, and it was read earlier, but the idea that we're gratefully following in the footsteps of many others who have walked this way before us, and we're gratified to be making footprints of our own for others to follow. Oh, so I'd already been bawling my eyes out just seeing the faces of these two women who were so dear to my heart. But when I read that, I was like, oh my gosh, you guys, that's the name of our meeting. That is our meeting's name. We're OA Footsteps. More tears. It was like, It was that moment that higher power gave me something that I didn't think I'd ever be able to do, be able to have this place where I could find recovery and just like a real-time meeting. And that was always my goal from the very start, that we would replicate as much as we could of a real-time meeting. And I'm reminded of the things that Renee was talking about was, like, I came into this thinking, well, I got chips at my face-to-face meeting. I'd really like to still get a chip when I hit a milestone, because I was only 7 months in program then, right? So that was one of my goals. I kept saying, I really wish that we could like send out chips to all our new members, right? I kept saying that over and over again until finally we started a committee and it started doing that. And I was so grateful. I'd really like to send pamphlets to my newcomers because I really like that. At my real face-to-face meetings, I've tried to start up like a literature committee so that we have a way of giving or selling or sharing literature with new members. I wanted all of it. I was really selfish, actually. And I have to tell you, this is probably the most selfish thing I've ever done in my life. I wanted this for me. I needed it for me, you know, and I've said that a lot. I was talking about that this morning. Like, I kind of almost say, like, this is my self-seeking. This could be a defect of character. But I also realize that selfishness in me and the kind of work that I've always done all my life is very community-driven. I selfishly want for me what would help others as well, right? Like, it's got to be, if it's just for me, I actually don't want it. But knowing that there's something that could be of benefit to so many, I had no idea. I had no idea what this was going to grow into. Like, absolutely none. Higher power led me. okay, that looks really interesting. Oh, and then led me further. And I live below the poverty line. I live modestly at best. I've got a lot of skills. I struggled in school because of my neurodiversity. My learning strategy was very different from what schools were. So I'm intelligent, but I just could not do anything school-wise. So I have no real accreditation to my name or anything like that, because I just can't learn that way. But it never stopped me from learning and growing and getting all the skills. So all of those skills, it was like higher power made sure that I had gone and learned on my own prior to OA, all the little pieces that I needed, right, to help facilitate. I mean, that page that Renee showed. So I was trying to think of a way to make a website that would be easily worked on by anybody. So you need to know that web page was actually written up in a Word program, Microsoft Word, and saved as an HTML and then uploaded online. So anybody that knew how to use Word could actually work on the website at that point. But it quickly wasn't enough for our growing community, because we were growing. I mean, I've got it written down here somewhere. So I do have it written down. By the time we hit our first anniversary, April 14th in 2020, we had about 21 meetings, I think, around there. Our second anniversary, I think we were between 60 or 70, around that goal there. And then, of course, COVID hit it just hit us at that point. So our numbers were going up fast, quite quickly, in that early months there.
Gentle reminder, Alex.
Oh, okay, how much time do I have left? 1 minute? Okay, so anyways, and then we're now sitting at over 150 meetings. I just really want to say this whole thing about walking in the footsteps of those who have gone before us, Bill W., Bob, Roseanne, all these people that have, all the people, every single person that ever given service prior to us being in program has left this incredible path of recovery for us to follow. And then I look around where I am. What a legacy. I mean, just an incredible legacy that they've left for us. And then I look around at all of us and all the work that we do and the heart that we put into this. And I think what a legacy we're leaving behind us, right? We're leaving for those that come behind us. And then I look behind me and I look beside me, and there's no longer just one set of footsteps on that beach, or even two. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of footsteps walking together now. And I am so grateful and blessed to be able to count myself among you, because this is not something that I didn't create. This higher power just used me as a vessel and put me in the right place. Every single person here and every single person that's ever been to a footsteps meeting or any derivative of such that has helped create this incredible, spectacular thing that we all carry in our hearts. And I love you. I love every single one of you. You are my kindred. And I am so, so grateful that I'm here and that higher power saved me for this purpose. So, thank you.
Thank you so much, Alex. It's fantastic. And could I call on Claire M next, who is of the Region Chair and a fantastic supporter of OA Footsteps.
Hi, everyone. I just want to check. I think someone was going to go before me, or no? That's not the case.
No, you're next.
I'm next? Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Claire. Grateful to be here today. Grateful compulsive overeater. Happy birthday, Footsteps. It's a beautiful thing. I remember, so I'm to give you a little bit of just my background, what brought me here, is I'm a grateful 200 pounder. I'm maintaining an over 200 pound weight loss in OA. My program saved my life. One day at a time. I came here over 50, and I would have easily died from this disease if I did not come here. So I think that pretty much says it all. And I really thank OA and the fellowship and my higher power every day for saving my life. But I'm here today to really focus on what's so beautiful about Footsteps and working the tools of the program. And I do remember those early days, because we worked, I worked with someone on the workshop committee, right? And she was starting OA Footsteps with some people. And before that, there was the chat platform. And I actually remember being at a Region 6 convention and demonstrating the chat platform to people. And people were like, woo! And then came OA Footsteps. And the thing I love about OA Footsteps is that it gives us that daily opportunity for recovery, because there's so many meetings And there are so many meetings that represent the diversity, as does the virtual region, but, you know, Footsteps is a great example of that, the diversity of our fellowship, the diversity in no matter what your problem is with food, this program works. You know, I was a big time volume eater, but I have sponsees that have undereaten or restricted. And yet they're still working the steps and the program still works for us. And the thing is that no matter what your problem is with food, you can find a meeting in OA Footsteps. And I think that's really awesome. And we come from many different places. And the globe, the fact that our program can work anywhere in the world, virtually, in person, in any format, chat, non-real-time meeting, Zoom meetings like this, as you mentioned, you know, telephone meetings and in-person meetings. But here at Footsteps, what I have loved about the growth of the intergroup is the number of newcomers that come into our meetings. And I still, as someone who's in OA about 8 years now, I still go to 3 or 4 newcomer meetings a week because I have a built-in forgetter. I wake up every morning and I say a line from the OA 12 and 12, the denial of truth leads to destruction. I say that line every morning because I need to remind myself of the pain, the absolute pain. Because when I came in, I couldn't walk. I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs. I couldn't get in and out of my car. And I have to remind that self of that. And the thing that I think is so beautiful, and it's really, to me, this is a celebration of recovery today, is that we have many more tools, but one really important one is meetings. You know, the first suggestion we make to, I was very blessed. I started the newcomer writing meeting on Footsteps, right? When there were a ton of newcomers and not enough sponsors at that time. And we couldn't figure out what to do. So I was like, well, we'll just start going through it as a group. And we did. We started going through it as a group, right? Like a whole bunch of us started. And I see some of you here today, and that's beautiful. We started going through the steps as a group together. And it works, right? That's the thing. Whether it's one person with one person or one person with 50 people, we can still carry the message. And that was the thing that was that was beautiful about Footsteps then and beautiful about Footsteps now, is that we still have so many newcomers that come to our meetings. And that's why we're here. We're here to carry the message, right? And it is selfish. I need to do it because if I don't, you know, for me, it's not negotiable, right? To me, to eat is to die. That's, to me, absolutely. If I compulsively overeat, you will see me well over 400 pounds, not being able to walk or move again, or dead. You know, so I know that. But the thing that's beautiful about Footsteps is that we have meetings, and that we have so many. And it's not about the quantity. To me, it's about the distinction, in that the platform has been so open and welcomed everyone from around the world, right? And wow, isn't it incredible that no matter where we are, these same 12 steps and these 9 tools work for us, right? I mean, it is really kind of that miracle. It's really mind-blowing to me that we're able to, you know, one day at a time, we're able to work together with unity and with love and do that. And I see that all the time in Footsteps. You know, there's a lot of people. I'm going to do a little shout out here for service, because the reason this intergroup grew in the way that it grew was because people gave service as if their life depended on it, because it does. And if you're here one day, 100 days, or thousands of days, we all need to still do service. And whatever service you do, showing up to a meeting is a service, but I'm going to openly encourage, because it's so important to the sustainability of this beautiful intergroup, which is celebrating now 3 years and these 150 something meetings, for those meetings to be maintained, there's some essential things. One is recovery, for people to really cherish their abstinence. And if you're not abstinent, then go to any lengths to become abstinent, because that's what we do, because our lives depend on it. And I can't tell you how to do that other than show up for meetings, follow, work the steps, use the tools. And one of those is service. And this intergroup needs all of you. And let me tell you, I am the poster child for making mistakes in service. And I'm so happy for that. I really am. Because don't be fearful. Just, it's okay. We make mistakes. Don't be fearful. I heard one of the best things I ever heard was courage is fear that said its prayer. And that was really profound to me. And I say that because I know some people are a little fearful of service. Will I understand the technology? Do I really have what it takes to lead the meeting? And you know what? You do. Honestly, you do, because you're not doing it alone. Whatever we do here, we do together. And Footsteps is a great example of that. Whatever we do together one day at a time. And one day at a time, when I came in, I say it, I keep saying it every day. I don't know why, it's going to just keep coming out of my mouth. I was told when I came to OA that you'd love me till I learned to love myself. And I learned to love myself. And one way I learned to love myself was by giving service, because it meant I had purpose. And I'm really here today in celebration. I'm going to say to you that the biggest gift that you could give to yourselves and give to others is to give service. And Footsteps is an absolute example of that, because there are many people here that give service and give it freely, because it was freely given to us. And I'm just going to do a call out for people to really consider, you know, what can you do at your meeting, at your at the intergroup, to help support and sustain Footsteps? Because there's someone else out there, even if you're struggling, there's someone else out there that's struggling alone. And I will tell you, it took me months to get abstinent. And it was a heck of a lot nicer to be struggling alone to get abstinent than being alone. Struggling alone was really hard. But when I began to struggle within the fellowship, it gave me something that sustained me. It was sort of higher power in action for me. And it made me keep coming back until I got it, right? So even if you're struggling, still consider service. I just wanted to put that out there today. I think it's really important, because to me, that's the best way we can celebrate Footsteps, is by giving back what's been given to us. That to me is a real celebration, because recovery is a gift. You know, I know it. I'm here by the grace of my higher power and the OA Fellowship. And I'm here because I'm grateful for the service I got to do in Footsteps, because it made me show up. You know, it made me show up one day at a time. And I also want to do a shout out for people using the tools of the program, because for me, that's been really essential. And I have to use those tools every day. And if I know if I use those tools every day, and I do it imperfectly, that I will stay abstinent. And it's important for me to stay abstinent, because if I can't give away what I don't got, I can't, you know. I'll be back to, I don't even know if I have my picture here today. You know, I'll be back there. Right? That's where I'll be. I can't afford to be back there, because my body can't sustain that. My heart can't sustain that. My mind can't sustain that. It's not an easy place to be. It's actually a painful place to be. And I don't have that pain anymore. I have the joy of recovery. And I have the joy of being able to come here today with all of you and tell you that I'm just grateful. And if I could speak for the entire region, I'm sure everyone else would say if you're grateful. And we are in celebration with you because together we get better. It's just not an expression. Together we get better. And because this is a disease of isolation, right? We've all done it. I used to drive through the drive-thru and pretend I was ordering for two other people. And then I'd pull over and order to eat for three. And that would be me, you know? I used to go to the bakery in the morning and pick up some stuff. And I'd complete one box before everyone woke up. Because it's a disease of isolation. No one saw me do that. I was over 400 pounds. Everyone knew I was doing something. But in my mind, I didn't, you know, I was still hiding whatever I could hide. And showing up at these meetings, we don't hide anymore. You know, we're not in isolation. So if you're here, please just keep coming back to the miracle happens. Because the same way footsteps one day at a time became free is the same day, one day at a time, that we get a month of abstinence, 3 months of abstinence, six, one day at a time, you know? So I do say just from my perspective, I'm really grateful to be here. I must have hit my time already. No, I haven't. One day at a time, I would say that this program saved my life. One day at a time, the work we do in service saves our lives. And we're able to pass that on. And I remember at the very early of the, I just want to throw this in there, the very early of, you know, when things got started shutting down, we did a lot of workshops in the virtual region to share with the fellowship. And Footsteps was the example to show everyone what online meetings look like, right? Footsteps was the example that we pointed to because people didn't know what they looked like. Right. We had the workshops and footsteps. That's what we had as example for, you know, what this looked like. And that was just a wonderful power of example. And happy birthday, everyone. And thank you all for the service that you've done and continue to do to carry the message. Lots of love.
Thank you so much, Claire. And next up, we have Cullen, who is a previous vice chair for OA Footsteps, kind of at sort of the beginning of the foundation of Footsteps. Take it away, Cullen.
Hi, I'm going to try to leave my video on, but my internet is quite slow. So if it starts getting choppy, if someone could just make a very confused face at me, or you just can unmute and say, we can't hear you, and I'll turn my video off. I would love to actually be here and be as present as I can. Hi, I'm Cullen, compulsive overeater and bulimic, and I'm delighted to be here. I'm delighted that I can be here because of this program. I am able to articulate my needs. I'm traveling and staying with family and working on a show. And 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, before I came into this program, there's no way in hell I would have been able to say, oh, I'm going to go on a meeting. Can I step out to the garage? I would have been silent. I would have been awkward. I would have been really uncomfortable. I would have been very anxious about it. And how miraculous that because of this program, I can be in this program. I'm going to follow that basic format really quickly and just talk about what it was like, what happened and what it's like now for both myself and Footsteps, just so that, you can know who I am a little bit. I I think I was always a compulsive overeater, predispositioned to this disease, and come from a family with a lot of addictions and not a lot of recovery. So I was really in a bad place in high school and in college. I was binging and I was purging every day. And I was just really suffering and uncomfortable in my body all the time, and really depressed and really angry and absolutely unable to identify that that's what was going on, and incapable of feeling those things in a way that wouldn't kill me. So in a lot of ways, thank God for this disease, because it kept me alive and it kept me, it got me through a time when I didn't have any other skills, and it was not safe. It wasn't safe to be angry. It wasn't safe to be sad. This was the thing that was hurting me a lot. And through some great therapy, I was able to put down the purging, but the compulsive eating is where I went when I was stressed, when I was nervous, when I was not between a 4 and a 6 on the emotional scale. Anything less than that, anything higher than that, I was in the food to self-regulate a little bit. And here's the honest truth of what happened. I was going to move in with a guy, and I knew that if I moved without dealing with this, I would kill us both. That there's no way that that relationship could have survived, because I knew that any transition, my disease got so much more intense and so much louder. And suddenly I wouldn't be able to hide it from somebody, and somebody would see it. And I was so scared of being found out, but also like out of control. And it just was too scary. And, so I, as if it was an academic study, I started going to OA meetings and thought, well, let me try this on. Let's see. Oh, won't it be fun? But I walked into a room. I was living in New York at the time. And I walked into this beautiful meeting, and the sun was shining and people were laughing. And it was nothing like how it's depicted in the movies. People were sharing recovery and they were talking about their experiences, and they weren't in those behaviors anymore. They had distance from it. And I stayed in the back and kept my mouth shut for a really long time. But I started to hear that message of space, and about people feeling things and surviving their feelings and recovering and growing. And I sat one morning and I was meditating, and I just all of a sudden felt this overwhelming sense of, I am totally alone in this. I have been able to figure out a lot of things, but I do not know how to have a relationship with my body and with food that isn't destructive and that doesn't hurt me. I only know how to hurt myself with food. I only know how to punish myself and be cruel to myself when it comes to my body. I don't know how comfortable. And I felt so clearly like a lost kid. And because I'd gone to those couple meetings, I knew, oh.
God, and you seem to be freezing.
That's right. Turn video off. Did that help at all? Did that help? Wait, you stopped my video. Hang on. Why won't it let me stop my video?
No, you're on video now.
Stop!
I stopped it.
The thing. I'm gonna touch the button.
You are breaking up when you're on video, Colin.
Well, so I didn't touch the button, but somehow it turned back on.
I'm gonna turn it off, Colin, because I did it.
My hands are up. And I'm not going to touch it.
Let me do it.
I'm surrendering, y'all.
There you go.
Host has stopped my video. It's staying stopped. I'm powerless over my video, and that's okay. Let me backtrack just a moment. Anyway, there was hope. That's the point. I was really scared, and there was hope. And I kept coming to the meetings and found a sponsor who really showed me how to be gentle and love myself and identify. Her first and most important guiding question was, where are you bleeding? And establishing this baseline abstinence of no binging and no purging, that's what was hurting. And other than that, I had a food plan to support me in that and lots of tools. But just knowing that was the bottom line. And through the grace of God, through the power of this program, I have not binged and I have not purged since October 3 years ago. So what is that? 3 and a half years. And I was able to find really wonderful recovery in New York. And then I moved in with my now husband, and I moved to Mexico, where I was way too scared to go to meetings where I didn't speak the language. And so I went online, and I knew how to use Zoom. So I found the first meeting I could find that was in a method that was intelligible was an OA Footsteps meeting. And I went and I did the exact same thing. I kept my video off. I probably changed my name. If I had my video on, I was off screen. I didn't raise my hand. And, I'm not going to crosstalk, but there are some people in this meeting who were very welcoming and would very inviting in those first meetings when it was really, really maybe 8 people, maybe 12 people on a very full day. Who would say, "Oh, hey, Cullen, you haven't spoken yet. Would you like to say something?" And I'd say, "How dare you? No, no, yes, I do." And then it became my family. And I had this giant chip on my shoulder that no way online meetings were going to have the same recovery as in-person meetings. No way these people would know what they were talking about. But in-person's the only way. And thank God I was completely wrong. And the recovery was wonderfully strong. And you get used to a new format. And then there was a pandemic. And suddenly there were all these people. So what it was like for me, really painful. What happened? I went to OA. What it's like now, I have genuine relationships with people. I can feel my feelings one day at a time, imperfectly. I don't hurt myself with food. I have more space for grace and gentleness in my life. I can travel and I'm with my family and I'm not scared every second that everybody hates me. And that is new. That is a very new thing. So that's sort of my story in this program. And with Footsteps, what it was like was really small. It was really small, really intimate. The same people pretty much in all the meetings. There used to be a little graph on the bot, or not a graph, but a table at the bottom of the scripts that had all the meetings listed. I believe that there were 5 or maybe 6 of them. And that was it. So you could come to one almost every day. Wow. And what happened was that people really cared and knew that this was a powerful thing and that this was really important in creating accessible meetings, especially for people who lived in areas that did not have a lot of meetings or who couldn't travel so easily. And because of those people that, that care and that wisdom and that intention, we built and very slowly and started having more clearly defined leadership and volunteer positions. And then what else happened? As I said, there was a pandemic and suddenly there were all these people. And because this thing had been established, there was a framework and there was a system of support and it was still really messy, totally human, absolutely human beings trying to figure it out along the way, always saying, "Oh, I don't know," or "Someone needs to do it. So I guess I'll do it. I'll be the secretary. Sure. What does that mean? I've got no idea. We'll figure it out." And because it was so new, there was this ability to be really humble and this total humility and forgiveness for each other because no one knew how to have an online intergroup. Nobody knew how to run these meetings. No one knew what it meant. Oh my goodness, I need some more coffee, my friends. No one knew what it meant. And so we just asked the question. And because we didn't know, kind of like how I was a little lost kid in the beginning, we could then ask questions and seek guidance and figure it. And it kind of encouraged us to go towards each other. And isn't that the power of this program, is that by ourselves alone in our houses, we can't really get better and we don't know what to do, but we show up with a group of people and say, "I don't know what to do." And we say, "Yeah, me neither. It's okay. Or here's what helped me." And through that action, we get better, we get closer, we find a solution. So for me, against my will, I started going to some meetings and people would say, "I can't really do this service anymore. Who can do it?" Really quiet in meetings. And I would roll my eyes, tons of them, and go, "Oh, I can lead this meeting. Fine." And then, of course, it would turn into things that I loved that became beautiful, beautiful moments and opportunities for connection. And thank God for those things, because it kept me coming back. I have found that I really drag my feet if I'm just going to a meeting as a fellow, but I will show up with more energy if I have some kind of a service position. And for me, that was kind of a way to hack the recovery a little bit. Okay, if I volunteer for service, which I never have, never once in my recovery wanted to do. I have never joyfully raised my hand for service. I have felt joy very quickly afterwards, but that initial raising of the hand has never really felt like, oh boy, yes, let me commit to an hour or two every week. But it has always, always led to deeper recovery, more connection, a deeper sense of and tremendous joy. So again, kind of reluctantly, I said, yeah, I'll be the chair for a while. And I think I did that for 9 months or a year. I don't really remember, but it was a lot of building. It was a lot of figuring out that we didn't have bylaws or policies and procedures. And I think we had this great pattern of saying, oh, we don't have that. Okay, let's make that. And we made bylaws, we made policies and procedures. I work on those committees now, and we get to continually shape those and improve them to match what we do. And I think we can, in my experience with this program, I think it's still very tempting to say, oh, it's not perfect. We're doing something wrong. And I really love that the evidence of my recovery and my time in this program is, oh, we don't have this yet. It's not exactly perfectly worked out. Wonderful. We get to say what's not working so well and ask the question, how do we get closer to things working better? Where are we bleeding? Where do we need to go next? And then we're free. We're free to change. It doesn't have to be perfect. We're not supposed to be perfect right away, but acknowledging what's where there's still room for growth allows us to ask questions, to ask for help, to seek guidance beyond our experience and to continue to grow and to change. And it really, I'm so touched that it has gone. I've gotten to see this intergroup grow from 5 meetings with a handful of people into a lot more than that, every hour of the day. There's somewhere to go, and there are so many people. And my only plug for service is, you don't have to wait till you feel the impulse. I think, if you feel a tug of like, oh no, I really don't want to do that, but I might have the time. Oh God, just volunteer. It has been the thing that has, jump-started my recovery. And I think we all understand that our lives ebb and flow. It's okay to take a role and then we get to hand it over, right? We're not supposed to be stagnant in this program. We get to continually evolve and change. And that gives me tremendous hope for, thank you so much. Perfect. Cause I actually have to run, hope for us as individuals and hope for us as an intergroup. And I'm just going to turn my video on to give you all a million hugs and kisses and say, thank you so much. And I can't wait to see where we go in the next 3 years. So thank you all for letting me be here. And thank you for making this a place for all of us to recover and grow and learn. Couldn't do it without you.